I'll invite you to turn to page 1351 if you're using your Pew Bible. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Ash has the reading for us this morning, so thank you very much. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Come on up.
Philippians 4 through 9. 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you.
Good. Thanks be to the Lord God for his wonderful words. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for these wonderful and encouraging words. We do rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful that you've spoken your words of peace and reconciliation into our lives and our homes. And we pray, Lord, that as we've just sung, Lord Jesus, that you would stamp your own image deep on our hearts. And we ask it for your own name's sake. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, last time we had this passage also. And I suggested to you last week that this wonderful little section is like a little mini handbook for the Christian life. But we only considered verse 4 last time, joy. Joy is the Christian's birthright. Okay, joy ought to be the natural, continual, default state of anyone who's been born from above. Right? You have peace with God. You have the knowledge that he has you in his hands for good and for always. He loved you while you were still a sinner. How much more now that you've been reconciled to God, now that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you have pledged your allegiance to him. Look, all is well. You have plenty of reason to rejoice. No matter what comes around the bend, God is good. Jesus said he's never going to leave you or forsake you. The Bible says he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He puts a new song in your mouth. Praise to our God, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So happiness is the Lord, okay? You'll have trouble in this life, but take heart. The Lord Jesus has overcome. Be of good cheer. So today, if you like, this is chapter 2 of the mini handbook, which is verse 5. That's where our attention is going to be today. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Okay, which of course goes very wonderfully with the last verse, and it makes a nice chain connecting to the next verse. Let your gentleness be known to all men. So, gentleness. First thing I want to do is to have a look at the word itself. The different translations have different words here. So, for starters, the English Standard Version has the word reasonableness. Okay, it says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, where that translation came from or what the motive is. And it doesn't seem to me that that's a very good, to my opinion, doesn't seem to be a very good translation for this word. To me, if you say to somebody, be reasonable, you're just telling them, try not to act irrationally, right? Listen to good sense, you know, listen to what I'm trying to tell you, try to make a smart decision, and, you know, be logical, be rational, and I don't think that's the sense of this word, okay? The King James Version, which I know a number of you have, says moderation. Okay, let your moderation be known to all men, which, not being 400 years old, I don't care much for that translation either, because the sense of the word has changed, okay? To me, moderation these days has to do with, like, don't overdo it, okay? All things in moderation, you know how the saying goes. Don't overeat, don't drink a lot, enjoy yourself, but don't go overboard kind of thing. Keep to the middle of the road, don't wander off too far this way or that way. That's what moderate means. And that's not what this verse is getting at either. Okay, the meaning of the word has shifted since then. There's one version that uses the word considerate. Okay, it's the New Living Translation. It says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Which is nice that you should be considerate. You should be considerate and think of other people and consider their needs and their feelings. That's just not what this word means. That is, for what it's worth, that is taught in Philippians. If you go back to chapter 2, Paul said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind, each of you ought to consider others above himself. Right? So there's the idea of be considerate. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to those of others. Well, that's being considerate, and yes, you should be considerate, but that's not what this word means. A couple of versions have forbearance, like the American Standard Version, which I think is probably out of print now. I don't think anybody uses the American Standard. It's from 1901. But forbearance is a good translation if you know what the word means. It's just not many people use the word forbearance anymore. Forbearance means a self-restraint or self-control, especially in the face of some kind of provocation or disturbance or a testing of patience. You say, I forbear, you know, I withhold myself from being provoked. I withhold myself from becoming irritated or answering back in like manner. Okay, so I refrain from demanding my rights or making an issue out of enforcing my rights. Okay, people ought not to treat me in such a way. I don't deserve that, but I forbear. One or two versions have the word graciousness, okay, which to me that gives a pretty good sense, graciousness, as long as you don't think of graciousness in terms of, in the sense of being elegant. Okay, to be graceful and to be gracious, two different things. God is gracious toward us, okay, in that he sets aside our offenses, transgressions, rebellions, and provocations. He sets them aside, and he is very persistent in dealing with us according to his mercy and compassion. Okay, the psalm says the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. That's graciousness. And that is, friends, that's what Paul says is the Christian quality that we now, as children of God, we possess and that we should show at all times. Okay, and of course, here in the New King James, we have the word gentleness, and several other versions also have gentleness. And I would just say gentleness is fine. The only thing I think you would want to be just careful about is not to limit the idea of gentleness to what you might call gentle situations, like handling a baby or handling a kitten or handling a little calf or something. You know, be gentle. It's not just, you know, anybody can be gentle if you're handling a little chickie or something, but how about when you're having an argument? What about when you're frustrated about a bad day and that, you know, one more thing happens at the end of a bad day that, you know, is about to set you off? Can you be gentle then? How about when the neighbor has their music blasting in the middle of the night? How about when you're cleaning up a mess that somebody else made? How about when your children ignore for the third time, you know, what you asked them to do? Then can you be gentle? Okay, Paul says, yes, you can. And yes, you must, my brothers. So, like I said, you know, I think my preference kind of lands there somewhere between forbearance and graciousness, because both of those ideas include the sense of, you know, there is some kind of irritant or something, an intrusion or an affront of some kind that I consciously choose to let it pass, or I choose to deal with calmly or leniently. Okay, I am gentle, but not only in gentle situations, such as, you know, when I'm making my grandmom a cup of tea. You know, I'm gentle as in, this should bother me, it would bother me, it would bother most people. There was a time when it would bother me, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit in me is gentleness, kindness, patience, and self-control. And that all goes together with the joy from the last verse. Okay, so graciousness or gentle forbearance. Let me give you a couple of other New Testament occurrences of the same word, just to kind of help you get some context. So James 3:17, which to me is a tremendous verse. This word occurs there. It says, the wisdom that is from above, as opposed to earthly carnal wisdom that makes people selfish or self-aggrandizing, the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, then this word. Okay, first pure, then peaceable, then, New King James says, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Okay, so this word that we're trying to get a handle on is surrounded by other words meaning things like peaceable, willing to yield, full of mercy. Now that was James 3:17. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, word occurs again. Paul says this, remind the brothers to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, and then this word, gentle or forbearing, showing all humility to all men. Okay, so again, the word we're interested in is surrounded by other words meaning not to be contentious, to be humble, and to be self-controlled with words. And thirdly, 1 Timothy 3:3 says this, speaking about elders in the church. Okay, Paul says a man must be blameless, temperate, sober-minded, well-behaved, not violent, not greedy, but then this word, gentle or forbearing, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Okay, so you got to think by the context and the kinds of other things that are paired with this word, we get a sense of what it means. A couple of proverbs that also get you in the neighborhood. Forbearance, right? Proverbs 25:15, by long forbearance a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Okay, by long forbearance a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue, you know, will win the victory, right? A gentle tongue breaks a bone. And Proverbs 15:1, of course, that you know, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, I've gone through all of that in order to say, Christian friends, what an important characteristic of the new life this is. Okay, this is God's revealed will for you and me that we should live this way from now on. Okay, God laid hold of you in order to make you become like this. If Jesus Christ is in you, then this quality of himself will become a quality of you and me. As we just sang, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Well, this is the image of Christ. Look at himself. There's a very good reason why he is portrayed as a lamb. A lamb is gentle. It's patient. It's compliant. It's not stubborn. It's not aggressive. It occurred to me there is a verse in the Psalms that says, don't be like the mule or like the horse that have to be controlled with a bit and a bridle, else they won't behave. Okay? A horse or a mule or a donkey is stubborn, okay, and it has to be controlled, but a lamb is not like that. Okay? And in fact, if you think about it, all of the sacrificial animals are that way. A calf, a lamb, a dove, a pigeon. Okay, you see it in Christ himself. Isaiah says that he did not raise a clamor in the streets. He did not quarrel. He will not break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. Okay, which is talking about people. You know, people whose faith is weak. People whose willpower is weak. People who are just hanging on. The Lord Jesus isn't rough with them. He's not. He doesn't give up on them. Okay, He cherishes them and tries to fan that little flame into life. Jesus had compassion on sinners and went to eat with them. Jesus settled a quarrel among his own disciples by taking them aside privately and explaining to them very patiently about service and about meekness. Okay, he said to them, you know how the Gentiles like to lord it over one another. Well, it must not be so among you. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and the straying. Since he himself was subject to weakness, he has understanding of our weakness, and he's holy, harmless, and undefiled. Okay, and Philippians already told us that we, brothers and sisters, need to be blameless and harmless. Okay, as a lamb stands silently before its shearers, he opened not his mouth. When he was insulted, he didn't return the insult. When he suffered, he did not make threats. Okay, that's forbearance. Don't you agree? Okay, so when you confess Christ and when you receive him into your life and he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in you, okay, the Holy Spirit in you is the advance payment, the down payment of the age to come, the life to come, which is the age of peace. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the stamp of the image, right? Is the seal or the insignia of Jesus Christ that shows that you belong to him. The Spirit of God is in you if you belong to Jesus Christ. So this aspect of his character is now an aspect of your character, your life. Which is why I like how Paul phrases this by saying, let your gentleness be known to all men. So your gentleness, your graciousness, or your forbearance, you have this quality. Okay, and Paul just asserts that you have this. You know, he doesn't like try to plead with you and say, listen, brothers, try to be gentle, you know, as in give it your best try. He just kind of asserts it. It assumes as a positive quality that, you know, believers have this trait. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Okay, so maybe you weren't even aware that you have this trait. Maybe your way is to let your aggressiveness be known to men. Okay, let your pushiness be known to men. Maybe that's how people perceive you, as domineering. Let your grumpiness be known to all men. Okay, or your defensiveness. Right? How do people know you? Is it, are you quick to be insulted, quick to be offended? Okay, your defensiveness. Or maybe it's perfectionism. Maybe that's how people know you. Are you a person that comes across as having very little patience with the foibles and shortcomings of others? You know, why is everybody so incompetent? Why are they always trying my patience? Don't people know anything? Okay, maybe that's how you've been used to living. And maybe that's the kind of person people see you as, you know, as though something's always bothering you or somebody's always getting on your nerves. Okay, well, you remember the parable of the ungracious servant. Okay, and it's really amazing how little patience people have for the flaws of others. What in view of this parable of the ungracious servant? You know, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. So remember the parable. Here's the servant who owes the master $100 million, and there's no way ever to repay it. And so the master is merciful and cancels the debt and turns the servant loose. You can go. And then he goes immediately out and throttles somebody else over $100. Okay, can you believe the nerve of that person? Okay, well, anyway, you should be aware that when the Spirit of Christ came upon you, when he comes to live in your spirit, he gives you this gift as part of the new life that is born in you. Okay, it's part of Christ's character, gentleness, forbearance, graciousness, as in, Father, forgive them. As in, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. As in, don't shoo those little children away from me, let them come to me. Okay, Jesus possesses all of those qualities, and praise God for them. Now let yours be known to all men. Okay, so let it be known means let it be apparent, let it be evident. People ought to see this in you. So look, get it out of the bag and put it on, wear it. Okay, Jesus bought this for you with his own life and gave it to you. So get it out of the box and wear it and take off those other, frankly, unattractive, tiresome old rags and throw them in the bin and put this lovely garment on instead. Okay? Put off aggressiveness, defensiveness, touchiness, impatience, perfectionism, rudeness, judgmentalism. Okay? These things are unattractive and profitless, right? Paul says, let men see your graciousness and forbearance. So don't keep it in the box. Put it to use. That's what it's been given to you for, to use, right? Grace and gentleness. Accept one another as Christ, as God in Christ accepted you. So think how often you could put this to use and with whom. So how about with your spouse? Okay, graciousness or gentleness is obviously a very important, necessary ingredient in a happy, lifelong relationship. Okay, put it to use. How about with your children? Okay, children need understanding, patient instruction, and they need insurance, not perfectionism and constant criticism, and certainly not sarcasm. And then that goes in the other direction, too. How about with your parents and with your grandparents? Okay, they also need understanding. They need affection. So to be huffy or impatient or to roll your eyes at them, that's not Christ-like. Okay, that's not from the Holy Spirit. A parent should not have to feel like she's always getting on the children's nerves, should not have to feel like they see her as an embarrassment or a drag. Okay? Don't get exasperated with your elders. Let your forbearance be evident. Okay? Let your gentleness be evident. And in general, brothers and sisters, we all need to make the effort to try to be understanding about each other. Okay? And that goes the old with the young with the old, people from different families, right? Members of different families, people of different backgrounds, people with other customs from ours, people from outside the church, even enemies. Okay, it says, let your forbearance be known to all men. To let your forbearance be known to people with lousy attitudes, to proud people, to nosy people, to rude people, to sick people, to immature people, whoever tries your patience, right? Sinners and saints. You know, as soon as you start to feel that blood pressure tick up, as soon as you start to raise your voice a little bit, it's time to think about Jesus Christ. When he was insulted, he did not insult in kind. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. Okay, so that's grace, right? Grace and understanding are the keys to good Christian living. And on top of that, they're keys to persuading others about the glory of our Lord. So the book of Titus, it says this about being forbearing and gentle in the book of Titus. So here Paul speak to Titus. He says this, speak evil of no one, be peaceable, gentle, this word, showing all humility to all men, because after all, we ourselves once were also, okay, like they are now, we ourselves once also were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in envy and malice, hateful and hating one another. But then the kindness of our God, right, the grace, the love of our God and Savior Jesus Christ appeared, and he saved us because of his mercy, right? He saved us not because of our righteous doings, but by his grace. So, Titus, therefore, I want you to affirm constantly to the brothers that all of us who have believed in God should be careful to maintain this kind of good works for the benefit and profit of all men, and to shun foolish disputes and contentions, for they are unprofitable and harmful. Okay, so the Lord Jesus is going to be speaking to each of us individually about how we have brought honor or dishonor to his name by how we conducted ourselves as his ambassadors. Isn't that right? His character should be shining forth in our character, should be reflected through us. So let your grace be an imitation of God's grace. Okay, let it be evident to all. So just like the Bible says about Jesus, he deals gently with the ignorant and with the wayward. Well, that should be so about us. Okay? Learn how to deal gently with the ignorant and with the wayward, because you well know, as Titus says, you well know you yourself are subject to weakness. Okay? So obviously that does not mean you can never speak up and say anything about anything that bothers you. Okay? It's not saying that you should from now on be a coward and never speak up, right? Jesus was no coward. It's just a matter of doing it with graciousness and with Christian respect. Okay, if your brother sins against you, if your brother offends you, well, Jesus says, go to your brother and talk to him about it. Okay, but don't scold him and bludgeon him about it. If you do it graciously, you're very likely to win your brother. Okay, nor is this saying, don't stick up for Christian principles. Of course we should stick up for Christian principles, but it's a matter of how we do it. Okay, how we conduct and present ourselves, and how we control our attitude and our emotions. Okay, so it's not right for any Christian to abuse people or to snipe at people or berate them. Okay, instead say, do you have a minute? Can we, you know, can I talk to you about something? And you know, I need to share something that's bothering me. Okay, now over my life, I have heard several people say, and it's almost as though it's a virtue, I just tell people how it is. Okay? I just tell them like it is. Let me assert to you, that's not a virtue. Okay? I just say whatever's on my mind. I don't hold back. I'm just being straight with them. I don't find that to be a virtue to be brash. Okay? You can be direct and still be tactful. Okay, you can certainly stand for what's right and stand against sin and even deliver the Lord's warning to people while still maintaining forbearance and graciousness. Okay, your model here is the Lord Jesus Christ. So get your four Gospels out and see, how did he deal with people? How did he deal with sinners? If he ever got angry at people, it was with people who were ungracious. Okay, even when he preached repentance from sin, and you know that's his message, okay, it's repent and believe in the good news. Okay, the good news is that God is gracious. Okay, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be revered. Okay, therefore with you, my brothers and sisters, there needs to be forgiveness and mercy and grace and patient forbearance. Okay, and like I said, this comes very nicely from the previous verse. This comes from joy in the Lord. Okay, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it to you again, rejoice, right? The joy in the Lord, the joy of our salvation, elevates us above harshness toward other people, elevates us above aggressiveness, bitterness, sarcasm, a critical and unforgiving spirit. Okay, we sing this song, love lifted me, right? Love lifted me. Love lifted you above such things. Okay, so let your graciousness, because you have it, let your graciousness be evident to all men. And then to close the verse, he says, after all, the Lord is at hand. Okay, some versions say the Lord is near. Okay, you have every reason to be at peace, both inwardly and outwardly. The psalm says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. Okay, the Lord is right by your side. So then being able to be gracious toward others should not be so difficult. Okay, when you feel offended or agitated, or when you feel you're about to give somebody a piece of your mind or let them have it, and your anger is about to get the best of you, okay, remember how your wonderful Savior, holy, harmless, and undefiled, a harmless lamb, is near. He's right there. And feel his peace, and feel his love, and feel his goodness. There's a verse that says, bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation. Okay, bear in mind the Lord's patience means salvation. So be anxious for nothing. Turn to him, he's right there at hand, and give him your agitation and your cares and your worry and your bad mood, and he will take it, and peace be still, he will replace it. Okay, the Lord is near to all who call on him in truth. And also his coming is near. Okay, the Lord is at hand in that sense too. His coming is near, and he knows every single person's heart. He's the one who searches the heart and the mind. And the Bible says he'll give to each according to his deeds. Okay, so Peter says, be diligent, you be diligent to be found by him in peace, without wrangling, without disputing, and without bitterness. Okay, again, Titus, because the grace of God has appeared to all men, offering salvation and teaching us to shun ungodliness and unseemly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives as we wait the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people of his very own, eager for good works. Okay, brothers and sisters, let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Okay, with that, let's pray. Our wonderful Savior, Lord Jesus, we praise you and we thank you that you are kind and compassionate. You're perfectly holy and righteous, and Lord, we are weak and going astray, and you'd be well within your rights to judge the world right this minute. But you are gracious and compassionate. You've shown your grace to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, free forgiveness for our sins, a new life, peace with God, your abiding presence to cheer and to guide. And so I pray that for all my brothers and sisters here. I pray that your Spirit would abide with us, fill us, give us a sense of love for our neighbors, love for the lost, love for the ignorant and going astray, your very great long-suffering and patience and kindness and gentleness, Lord Jesus. We bless your name and are so thankful that you have condescended to rescue us out of the mud and the mire and set our own feet on a firm place and put a new song in our mouth. We are happy to be together, Lord. We're happy to belong to you. We pray for your grace to go with us as we go through the week ahead. And I pray in Jesus Christ, amen. Good.